Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 24th of June 2013, the podcast that exercises on a Mobius strip. This is your host, Shane Killian. Let's patent the news of the bogus. And we start off with some good news. The Supreme Court has unanimously ruled that you can't patent human genes, something that was far too long coming and which will finally mean we'll see some real economic progress on this issue. About a month ago, this podcast reported that Angelina Jolie opted for a double mastectomy after learning that she had a variant of the BRCA1 gene that gave her an 87% chance of getting breast cancer. Myriad Genetics has had a patent on the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes for years, leaving them as the sole company capable of testing for these variants. But the Supreme Court ruled that these patents were invalid, since naturally occurring substances cannot be patented, and this includes the genes in people's bodies. The immediate effects will be great. With their monopoly power, Myriad has been charging some $3,000 to test for these variants. Now, competition will be able to offer these tests at a lower price, making them more affordable to women with lower incomes and no insurance, as well as being covered by a greater number of insurance policies. But the extended effects will be even greater. Now that this kind of testing can be done free of patents and licensing requirements, the cost of any human genetic sequencing and testing should drop dramatically. And this not only means more people being tested for various genetic issues, it means more companies doing the research needed to find out what other tests are needed for conditions where testing is currently unavailable. We can expect to see a relative boom as our understanding of and ability to test for these issues is increased by competing companies and even new startups. On the other hand, they did say that synthetic genes are still patentable, so we've still got a ways to go. But who knows? Maybe the geneticist version of Richard Stallman will come along and make open-source synthetic genes. Definitely one to stay tuned for. But now, sadly, some bad news. The Supreme Court has ruled that you don't have the right to remain silent unless you actually speak up. What? Yep. In another 5-4 ruling of dubious rationality, the court ruled that if you remain silent before you read your Miranda rights, your silence can be used against you. Unbelievable. Anyone with any knowledge of the law will tell you that the best thing to do when questioned by police is to keep your mouth shut, regardless of whether or not you've done anything wrong. They are experts at asking loaded and misleading questions and twisting answers to get the ones they want. It is absolutely your right not to talk to the police, and the Fifth Amendment makes that clear. Your rights are not contingent on whether or not a cop has told you what they are yet or not. But that's not what the Supreme Court said. Quote, petitioner's Fifth Amendment claim fails because he did not expressly invoke the privilege against self-incrimination in response to the officer's question. Say what? You have to actually say, I am invoking my right to remain silent, in order to have the right to remain silent? Do you have to put your gun down before you can exercise your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms? Do you have to become an atheist before you can exercise your First Amendment right to freedom of religion? Sounds ridiculous, you say? Then why do you have to say something before you have the right to remain silent? This isn't just Orwellian, it's downright insane. The defendant in this case was Genevieve Salinas, convicted of a 1992 murder. In 1993, police, quote, asked Salinas to come to the police station to take photographs and clear him as a suspect. At the station, police took Salinas into what he describes as an interview room. Because he was free to leave at that time, they did not give him Miranda warnings. The police then asked Salinas questions, and Salinas answered until the police asked him whether the shotgun from his home would match the shells recovered at the scene of the murder. At that point, Salinas fell silent. And they did exactly what the Fifth Amendment says they're not supposed to do. They used that silence against him in court. Quote, the prosecutor pointed out to the jury that Salinas, during his earlier questioning at the police station, had remained silent when asked about the shotgun. The prosecutor told the jury, among other things, that an innocent person would have said, what are you talking about? I didn't do that. I wasn't there. But Salinas, the prosecutor said, didn't respond that way. Rather, he wouldn't answer the question. Salinas was convicted, at least in part, because he decided he didn't want to talk to police anymore. His silence was treated as a confession, and the Supreme Court actually backed this up. What is it coming to? Is it getting to the point where we're each going to have to get a law degree in order to assert our rights? That we'll have to know the right magical incantation to say every time we just want our basic freedoms guaranteed by the Constitution? And in case you're thinking this might be justified if it results in the conviction of more criminals, consider this. Criminals have an incentive to understand things like this. But ordinary, everyday Americans who just want to go about their lives don't want to worry about things like Supreme Court rulings or what technically they should do when the police show up at their door. So it's far more likely that innocent people are going to get railroaded while more savvy criminals maneuver around these problems more easily. So here we have a pair of Supreme Court decisions, one asserting our rights not to have a part of our bodies owned by a corporation, and another denying our rights not to have that body taken by police just because we won't talk. Remember this whenever someone tries to convince you that the Supreme Court is the ultimate arbiter of the Constitution and our rights. They're not some group of altruists with a perfect understanding of the Constitution and ready to defend it against an ever more intrusive government. They're politicians in robes, and they're going to vote however it's politically expedient for them to vote. Really, depending on the Supreme Court to defend your rights is little better than flipping a coin. Something that gives a particularly uneasy feeling as we await their decisions on voting rights, gay rights, and affirmative action. Will these decisions defend the rights of the people as they're supposed to? Or will they validate the excuses government gives for denying these rights? Heads or tails, my friends. Heads or tails. I'm going to take a week off from playing the promos to emphasize the importance of donating. With the promos, I only get paid when people actually buy the service after typing in the code, so it's still the case that most of the budget covering the expenses of this podcast comes from generous listeners just like you who've decided it's worth something to them. So if that's the case, please go over to podcast.bogosity.tv and use the donate links to donate via PayPal or Bitcoin. It really does help ensure that I can not only continue producing this podcast, but use additional dollars for advertising and attract even more listeners. Thanks so much to everyone who has already donated, no matter how little, and thank you for listening and contributing in any way that you can. Meanwhile, many scientists are standing up for the rights of the people to have drugs studied for their medicinal benefits. In particular, psychiatrist and neuropsychopharmacologist David Nutt is saying that laws in various countries, as well as UN conventions against the study of cannabis, MDMA, and LSD for medical uses, constitutes, quote, the worst case of scientific censorship since the Catholic Church banned the works of Copernicus and Galileo. He has a history as a man who promotes the study of medicine, a troublemaker and a radical. In January 2008, he was appointed as the chairman of Great Britain's Advisory Council on the Misuse of Drugs, or ACMD, after serving as chairman of the ACMD's technical committee for 7 years. In October 2009, he disagreed with The Guardian's Robin Murray in his article, A Clear Danger from Cannabis. Nutt had released a pamphlet showing that the reclassification of cannabis as a Class B drug was politically motivated and not scientifically justified. Here's what Murray wrote, quote, the Advisory Council on the Misuse of Drugs, on which Professor David Nutt sits, has an unfortunate history in relation to cannabis. In 2002, it boobed by advising David Blunkett, then Home Secretary, that there were no serious mental health consequences of cannabis use. The council had done a sloppy job of reviewing the evidence. Since that time, they've been trying to regain credibility and now accept that heavy use of cannabis is a risk factor for psychotic illnesses, including schizophrenia. However, Professor Nutt's comments demonstrate how difficult it has been for some members of the committee to accept their error. Yeah, like we're supposed to believe some reporter with an agenda and a bunch of bureaucrats desperately trying to do damage control over the real science. But unfortunately, that's exactly what Home Secretary Alan Johnson did, saying that Nutt's conclusion about the science, which ran completely counter to the government's official policy, was, quote, a political rather than a scientific point. So you're apparently just supposed to go with whatever the government says, regardless of what reality shows. Just be a good little obedient bureaucrat. Now, in a paper published with UNC Chapel Hill professor David Nichols in the journal Nature Reviews Neuroscience, they conclude that laws against psychoactive drugs make it almost impossible to examine their medicinal uses, and say these laws are, quote, motivated by politics, not science. Government permits to study these substances can be very costly and time-consuming to obtain, and according to Nutt, many researchers are afraid to research them at all for fear of being arrested. Cannabis has been shown to have benefits in pain relief and reducing anxiety, as well as helping cancer sufferers hold down the cocktail of medicines they often have to take. Yet according to Nutt, the UK and other countries have completely blocked off all development of therapies involving any of the 16 active ingredients in cannabis. MDMA, known on the street as ecstasy, has been shown in clinical studies to be a highly effective treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder, as well as anxiety relief and even couples therapy. LSD is probably the most well-studied, with 1,000 papers showing beneficial outcomes for over 40,000 patients as, ironically enough, a treatment for alcoholism and other forms of addiction. Folks, it is absolutely reprehensible that government has claimed that these substances can't even be studied for their medicinal benefits. By declaring by fiat that these drugs have no medicinal benefits, they rob an uncountable number of patients of potential treatments and possibly even cures for who knows how many different conditions. If you or I denied someone a beneficial substance, it would be considered negligent assault. Yet governments do this all the time with absolutely no accountability whatsoever. Nutt and Nichols' call for governments to allow the study of these chemicals once again has been endorsed by the British Neuroscience Association and the British Association for Psychopharmacology. Here's hoping governments finally start to listen. And now put your car in park and the club on the wheel. It's time for this week's Biggest Bogon Emitter. This week, it goes to the San Francisco International Airport, which for some strange reason is called SFO, for their actions against a group of teenage entrepreneurs with a really good idea. Three teenagers turned away from offers of admission from Harvard, Princeton, and MIT because they thought of a great way of doing a rental car business. Here's the idea. You take your car to the airport and park it in long-term parking while you're gone. You rack up all those daily parking fees. Why not rent it out instead? So the trio formed Flightcar, which offers passengers an incentive. Instead of paying for parking fees, they let Flightcar rent it out, and in turn, they get a cut of the rental fee, as well as free parking, a free car wash, and a guarantee that their car will be there when they return. Incoming travelers, on the other hand, get to rent out a car starting at just $21 a day, much cheaper than you can get from the rental car companies. So they set this up at SFO, and already they've signed up 1,400 owners and arranged 1,500 rentals. They're planning to add this service to another airport by the end of the year, and who knows how many after that. But not if SFO has anything to say about it. It should come as no surprise that the big car rental companies hate this kind of competition, a better business model that completely undercuts their service. Apparently egged on by their corporate rental car cronies, SFO is calling Flightcar the same kind of rental company as the rest, even though they have no actual presence at the airport. They want Flightcar to pay SFO 10% of gross receipts and $20 for each rental car transaction, which is what the big guys pay for the privilege of renting out cars at the airport. SFO's complaint filed with the state of California under their unfair competition law says it's just not fair of them not to have to play by the same rules because it gives Flightcar, quote, an unfair advantage over similarly situated businesses that are forced to charge higher prices in order to operate lawfully and fairly. Aw, boo-hoo-hoo. I guess that's how it is in California. Competition is great, unless you compete with our cronies in a way that's actually effective. This is not good for business, it's certainly not good for consumers, it's only good for politicians and their big corporate cronies. When will people learn the government is not their friend unless they're a giant megacorp with loads of campaign dollars to give? If they're found guilty of violating the unfair competition law, and I guess unfair competition is defined as anything that threatens the profits of our cronies, then they could be fined or even shut down, Calling this unfair competition is an obvious excuse to shut down a small business with a new way of doing things. This is not only incredibly bad for this already down economy, it impedes human progress as well. Which is why the San Francisco International Airport just has to be this week's biggest bogon emitter. And now it's time to play by the same rules as this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
When Obamacare was passed, that's the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. We all know that, right? I don't have to keep saying it. I can just keep calling it Obamacare. Okay. Lots of people, including Tim Dyson on this very podcast, pointed out that the same rules weren't going to apply to Congress. And that's exactly what Democratic Congressman John Larson is trying to do, saying that it's, quote, simply not fair that they have to follow the same rules as everybody else. It's amazing, isn't it? Congress and the President pass something that's supposed to be this wonderful thing for everybody, whether it's Social Security, Medicare, government health insurance exchanges, or whatever. And of course it's good, and what are you complaining about? And you should be glad that we're forcing you to participate. And then the next thing they do is turn around and exempt themselves. The argument apparently is that it will disproportionately hurt those in the House because they tend not to be as rich as those in the Senate. Wow, really? Obamacare disproportionately hurts the poor? And how many Americans are poorer than politicians in Congress, huh? You know, maybe if Congress were forced into the same systems they force on the rest of us, there might actually be an incentive to fix them. If nothing else, it'd be a nice change of pace. At any rate, coming right out and admitting that his party's pet piece of legislation harms the poor and wanting to try and get only Congress members and their staffers out of it is certainly enough to qualify Congressman John Larson as this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this Eat Fresh edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums of Bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@Bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening. Until next time, here's a quote from PJ O'Rourke. If you think healthcare is expensive now, wait until you see what it costs when it's free. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License.
Bogosity.